tell us where we are right now, what campus we're at. We're aware of the big names, one in Columbia, UT, Harvard, and Colonial Outcast. We wanted to see what's happening here in California. So as our first stop, we're at Pomona College. So tell us where we're at, though, and what's going on here.
So we are currently on Marston Quad, which is the big central lawn on Pomona's campus. And originally, this lawn is where graduation takes place each year. And for those who don't know about Pomona College, it is the founding member of the Claremont Colleges Consortium. It has the largest endowment of all the undergraduate schools and all the colleges in the consortium. So we are specifically targeting Pomona because they have historically been the sort of informal leader of the directions that the colleges take. So currently we do have an encampment set up. This is actually the second one on the campus. The first one was set up on March 28th, a little bit farther back on the SCC, just in front of the steps. SCC is the big building behind us. And that encampment was up for 8 days before being shut down on April 5th, where our president, Gabby Starr, called riot police from 5 different police departments to arrest students after she ordered for the mock apartheid wall that had been set up to be removed in preparation for 47 Day, which we later found out from student government, they had already coordinated with organizers to leave that up while allowing the events to go on. So this was set up Monday of this week and still going strong.
Can you go through the timeline of events that took place when the students were arrested? What happened, the aggression, and then the backlash that led to this thing growing?
Yeah, so originally the idea for the first encampment was preceded by a referendum that had been taken among the student body where 60% of the student body participated, with over 80% agreeing and supporting disclosure and divestment from weapons manufacturing companies. And there had also been a vote from faculty that was also in support of this. So that that referendum was originally actively opposed in an email from our president as well. And while she had been very vocal, just being in opposition of the student activism going on campus, once those results came out and we have now a very good reason to believe that this is what our community does want, none of that was ever responded to. So ultimately that led to that first display to set up that encampment, to say, like, you've heard our voices, you're still not listening to us, and now we're going to continue being more visible. So on that April 5th, that was a Friday, and originally, like, deans had come and asked the campers to, like, hey, can you guys, like, move? And students were like, no, like, we've been here, we're gonna stay here, and we're not really going to be up for negotiating this if you guys are not actually going to come to the table seriously to discuss disclosure and divestment. So ultimately they did call in facilities around noon that Friday to begin forcefully taking apart that wall. At that point, students went to Alexander Hall, which is kind of in the back corner around here, where the president's office is located, and they conducted an act of civil disobedience and sat inside her office, which is something that had also occurred when students were protesting the school's funding in the South African apartheid. And at that point, Gabby Starr threatened students who were in the building with immediate suspensions and threatened to ban students who are not Pomona students with bans from the campus. And ultimately, she ended up calling those officers, who we later found out through an email confirmation from Pomona's VP Treasurer, Jeff Roth, that this was pre-coordinated. And Gabby did admit this in a faculty meeting that following Monday after the arrest. So With that, the entire street behind us was lined with police cars, and there were at least 25 cops in riot gears, where we could clearly see like batons and rifles. Students were denied their medication inside. And there was lots of just video evidence where we can see even one of the camp sec officers inside of Gabby's office with those students, brushes his hands over the blinds to stop people outside from recording as well.
You can hear pro-Palestinian demonstrators chanting in the background as armed police officers marched up the stairs toward them in Pomona College's Alexander Hall.
This is the last opportunity. We walk freely out of the building without being identified.
Moments later, video captured someone identifying as a student reporter being pushed out of a room. Police then closing a window's blinds, apparently to prevent them from filming. It all took place Friday on campus, where college security dismantled a pro-Palestinian art wall made by students with a movement called Pomona Divest from Apartheid.
So students just from across other Pomona and the other Claremont colleges ultimately assembled outside of Alexander, where over like 200 students stood in support, chanting as these students were brought out one by one in handcuffs and ultimately taken to CPD, where then those students were outside also moved to the police department to continue chanting until the last student who was arrested was released between like midnight and 1 a.m. the following day.
Live over the Claremont Police Department, where student protesters have gathered. The pro-Palestinian group had been at Pomona College and is now here at the police department. So far, the protests have been peaceful. We've also reached out to Claremont for police for more information, but we have yet to hear back.
So 19 students were arrested, including, and then like a 20th student who was on the news reporting team was also arrested, and the school tried to cite them on trespassing charges.
What was the other punishments that they levied on these students who protested?
So for the first night, all students were also held until at the police department until they had received their interim suspension. So they were immediately banned from campus, immediately cut off from food, weren't able to get any necessities out from their dorms at all. And they were essentially taken care of by community members and like faculty in the area who were supportive and offered that initial housing over until the school was like, okay, we'll like give Pomona students at least like, here's this offering of housing, here's this like food stipend. But there was still a very strong willingness to not let these students back on campus. And this included, you know, people who are also in like their last and like first years of school here. So people who are very clearly seeing the antagonism of our administration and feel very passionately about what is going on. And just the clear transparency that day was that administration, despite all of what they say in these messages, they are not prioritizing our safety. All students were safe until riot police were brought onto this campus. And further, by weaponizing that state violence, they put students of color, low income, and like Swana and Muslim students and black students especially at like significant risk if we just look at the tactics that we have seen going on ever since this. Because Pomona, the first encampment, was one of the first in the country.
Can you talk about that part too?
Yeah, so because this was set up, we actually set up at the end of Palestinian Liberation Week. I believe it's the last 2 days of that week is when the camp was set up. So while that went down, there was lots of like local press, which we learned our administration is, you know, very concerned about that image. And like almost like the following week and a half, that's when we were able to see these massive confrontations and like violent suppression at like UCLA, at Columbia, which also garner so much attention because these are like very large, very well-known and respected institutions. So we were kind of set up a little bit after Vanderbilt. which was also one of the earlier encampments, as we sort of saw this rise of like solidarity encampments across the U.S. And as we do see some are still remaining, we've kind of come back to just rejoin that original force. And this encampment is much larger than the first one, which really was only a few tents that were stretched across like the stairs that are in front of the SCC. And now, even yesterday, we did expand this encampment from just being here on this commencement lawn, and it now expands back towards big bridges, and that was done yesterday as a way of like trying to apply more pressure and indicating that we're like, this isn't something that's going to be waited out for as long as the school continues to ignore its community and continue these like threats of surveillance and punishment. Despite all of that, like, we are going to continue being here, and we are going to continue to push for those demands. And that was like one way for us to escalate this current encampment by pushing out further and taking up more space.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. Tell me how the local press has been covering you guys, whether honestly or dishonestly.
There is a lot of attempts. Well, we've had like mixed press. A lot more of the local press has been just more trying to sort of like build the timeline, see what's been happening, because this is something that you don't usually expect from such a slow area that is Claremont. And we've like that, especially that April 5th, we did have there were helicopters that were circling over the campus.
News helicopters?
Yeah, news helicopters have been circling.
Did you see the reports on the news? Were they, because I don't watch the local news here, mm-hmm. Were they dishonest? Were they smearing? Were they very objective? What would you rate it as far as the coverage?
It was definitely mixed, and I think we would all be able to agree, like, a lot of these news outlets do have their own agendas and are also funded by some of those same corporations that definitely are funding what's going on. So,
yeah.
Some news outlets are immediately portraying these students who are just involved, including our students during this, as like being anti-Semitic, in which we have clearly expressed, and Jewish students here have clearly expressed the difference between anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism.
You look like a violent person. I feel threatened right now just talking to you. I've seen these, violent, criminals just coming out of this tent, and I just feel so unsafe right now.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Not to mention all the swastikas you see everywhere.
Yeah, so there was definitely, it was actually very interesting. Certain right-wing media was, like, hailing Gabby Starr for, like, of course you need to call police. Of course you need to bring that force.
We look at these protesters, how so peaceful they are. I mean, you guys have a medical center. You guys have a nice organized process to talk to the press. And then you see these guys show up in full tactical riot gear.
Yeah.
Buffed out, on steroids, acting like they're going against a huge, gnarly, savage force, right?
Yeah. I mean, even, like, today, you can sort of see, like, the third-party securities they have around. And this was a lot more security that they just brought today, going from yesterday. And they have been, like, following students around as a way of intimidating, like, where we're going, what we're doing. And as we, like, saw all those police, I mean, one, like, some of these police departments that were contacted are still like 20 minutes away from here, so just the need to pre-coordinate, like, we're anticipating more, we're anticipating needing to have all of this additional security, because the narrative is does keep coming back to safety, but like, our real question is, who are you protecting? Because right. It's definitely not us. And this is just part of another tactic to subvert what we do see, like, students are standing for. And ultimately, yes, as we have, like, escalated over the course of our campaign, this is in protest to the school's attempts to normalize what we're seeing, the school's attempts to drag its feet with what we're asking. Mm-hmm. And Despite all these calls for like dialogue, these have also been administratively led. There's no open space for student comments. There is no acknowledgement of like what we know from these polls and what we know from these votes. Just this past week, faculty did vote 64% majority to disclose and divest from 10 companies that are included on the BDS list. And this past week, like, our president did admit, like, we are directly invested in one, and it's likely that we are invested in some of these other companies. Mm-hmm. So despite all these efforts to like intimidate, scare, threaten, emails that we received from our dean of students yesterday, even with just the sloganing, calling it like, there's lots of conflation between Jewish students and the State of Israel, which is the State of Israel. The Israeli military is what's being criticized. And all of this goes on while we have JVP, which is like the Jewish Voices for Peace in Palestine, have released statements condemning repeatedly, starting with like this past February, the conflation of the two. And students who were arrested that day are Jewish, are Black and Jewish. Mm-hmm. So as we see this, it's kind of clear, like, again, who are you protecting? Who is supposed to be safe? Because these populations and demographics that you're trying to hide behind have also shown allegiance. This past Monday, the camp was led in Hebrew prayer by Jewish students. And I believe the school definitely has seen, like, stop equating this. But it is the easiest thing to hide behind. And it is also showing allegiance to their Zionist investors.
Yep. I've heard a lot of, I mean, obviously, the picture that we're starting to see here is the anti-Semitism is being directed from the Zionist side towards the protesters.
Mm-hmm.
Can you, do you, have you heard any students express the anti-Semitism thrown at them from the Zionists? Because I see it all the time.
I mean, around the camp, we definitely have gotten an antagonist who, you know, are looking for an opportunity to discredit what's going on. Or just, you know, trying to find, like, a hot moment that can be broadcasted. Mm-hmm. But, like, we know, and it is very common within our practice of just, like, ignoring these, like, inflammatory comments and remarks as we're going about. And just generally not engaging, because the only real people we are wanting to engage with is, firstly, administration, where we're not going to come to the table until they meet our pre-demands. And secondly, the press, because we have seen, like, the admin is very concerned about that press. And there was a lot of condemnation from faculty and staff on our president's decision to call the police. And the more that we can get this out and get what we're asking about, and even more importantly, see that what we're asking is very possible, because Spanish universities have decided to cut ties with Israeli universities. And there are universities such as McGill, which do regularly disclose their investments and what percentage is where. All of this is just part of an ongoing effort to apply increased pressure. And the school can make that choice on when they're finally going to realize that the students here are capable of significant change, and we do have a lot of power.
Okay.
This movement, and especially the calls for BDS, are Palestinian-led. Palestinians are asking us in English, asking the West, here are things that we believe you can do that will significantly better the conditions we are facing, that will allow us to get closer to experiencing the full protection of our human rights and our full autonomy, and an end to the ethnic cleansing that they are experiencing. So firstly, like, we are out here, and this is our, like, chosen method of demands, because Palestinians are asking for it. And they are aware, just as we should be aware, that there is a lot of influence, especially from the U.S., that supports and is enabling what is going on. We are greatly taken care of by our community members who have been like going above and beyond to make sure we have all that we need, any supplies, materials, things as simple as food. And all together, as like there is a place for all of us, and the American institutions, whether it be through like policing, the military, all of these forces of suppression and violence are being exchanged. We know we have deep military ties. We know our police are exchanging tactics and methods through programs such as GILLI in Georgia. So pretty much all of the things that we are seeing in Palestine were like crafted and perfected here in the US and by other Western governments. So ultimately, liberation for Palestine and Palestinians is a step in the right direction for all oppressed peoples. And while we should and are appalled by what is clearly an ethnic cleansing and clearly an attempt to erase history, rewrite it, and just forget the presence and memory and impact of Palestinians, if we do not stand up for them and demand better of the institutions that we are attached to, we are all still complicit.
Awesome. Thank you.